Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi, Psalm 11, Yud Aleph. I'd like to take a minute to talk about a Bible scholar without whom I would never have been able to analyze Tehillim, write books on Psalms, or engage in this latest venture. His name was Amos Chacham, and he authored a most famous modern commentary on Tanakh called Da'at Mikra. Chacham was born in Jerusalem, but actually at an early age he fell down and developed a speech impediment. His father, Noah Chacham, himself a Bible scholar from Vienna, homeschooled him, and while his mother died when he was 15, his father also died when he was 22. By that time, he was teaching Tanakh in a small school for the blind, unknown to the country, and barely surviving financially. But everything changed on August 4th, 1958, when Israel, after a decade of existence, at the behest of Ben-Gurion, initiated Chidon HaTanakh HaArtzi, the International Tanakh Contest. It consists of a national version where all the Israelis gather together to be judged and tested on their knowledge of Tanakh. And then they invite members from all over the world, Jews, to battle against a wits and your knowledge of Tanakh. Well, Amos Chacham answered every question correctly, way ahead of every other contestant. He was awarded a cash prize and a Tanakh, although the moderator said to him, "We give you this Tanakh despite the fact that you know it all by heart." He went on to win the international contest and received great fame and was crowned by Ben-Gurion as Chatan HaTanakh, the crown prince of Tanakh. Amos Chacham went on to write his doctorate, teach Tanakh all his life, get married and have a son, Noach, actually lived in Efrat until 2012. And he was able to witness the Tanakh program study flower throughout the 50 years, the last 50 years. That's my piece on Amos Chacham. At the beginning of each chapter, Amos Chacham divides the psalm into sections. And sometimes I disagreed with his division, but most of the time not. Then he goes on to translate each word and explain unusual terminology. And at the end, he gives a synopsis of the psalm. Chacham writes that the Mizmor begins with a declaration, Lamanatseach leDavid, so that's a standard, but just two words. And then he says, Ba'adonai chasiti, ech temru lenafshi, nodu harchem tzipor. The declaration is, I have trust in God. Who's he talking to, right? He's not talking to God. He's saying, I trust in God. But I wonder, he says, why you people think I should run away like a bird? Chacham suggests that the short psalm of seven verses is split into only two sections. The first three verses pose the question that he's asking his advisors, who are suggesting that he's fleeing. He's saying, why would you tell me to do that? While the second half tries to answer philosophically, explaining why he chooses to remain with God on his side. Verses 2 and 3 repeat and strengthen the havamina, the assumption that he should run because his enemies are there. It says, Ki hine harasha'im yidruchun keshet, konenu chitzam al yateh lirot b'mo'ofi lishrei lev, ki hashatot yeresun tzadik mapal. For the wicked bend their bow, they ready their arrows upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright heart. For when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The ending on a question poetically encloses the three verses into a unit, as it began with the question of how do you say, and similarly, concludes with, when the enemy attacks the foundation, what can a righteous person do? Chacham sees the rest of the psalm as David's response, beginning and ending with God. In fact, God is the guiding word, the Mila Mancha. In the next three verses, his name appeared four times. The verse says as follows, Adonai b'heichal kodesho, Adonai b'shamayim kiso, einav yechazu, afapav yivchanu b'nei adam. Beautiful verse. Says God in his holy temple, God on his throne in heaven, God's eyes see, Yechazu. Yivchanu b'nei adam, they will observe people. Here the Hebrew word is yivchan. Perhaps it means to test or to discern. Either way, it's used for all mankind, but in the next verse, it's used to the tzaddik. Here, he will yivchan the actions of all mankind, especially the evil ones. But in the next verse, Adonai tzaddik yivchan, v'rasha v'ohev chamas, san'a nafsho. God, the righteous, he will judge the tzaddik justly. In other words, he will judge the tzaddik justly, while the evil one and the corrupt one his soul despises. Now let's look at this verse for a second. It says, Adonai tzaddik yivchan v'rasha v'ohev chamas sana nefsho. God righteous he will judge, evil he will hate. Now there's a poetic tool that's being used here. Normally the verb comes before the subject and it should read, God judges the righteous, Hashem yivchan tzaddik. But the poet didn't want to do that here, because it would create a situation in which he would put together the tzaddik and the rasha. He would say, God judges the tzaddik, the rasha he hates. But when you do that, the tzaddik and the rasha are standing together in some kind of skewed BB position, because the A is the tzaddik, and it would go in a bad direction. So instead, he puts the subject before the verb, and he says, God righteous, judge, evil, hate. So when you look at the verse, you see that basically the tzaddik is completely squarely on the side of God, whereas the Rasha and the Oev Hamas are on the side of being despised. The psalm continues, Yamter al Rishaim Pachim Esh V'Gofrit V'Ruach Zalafot V'Nat Kosam. Upon the wicked, he will rain down coals, fire, and brimstone, and a scorching wind will be the portion of their cup. And this psalm is a big proponent of the philosophical concept of reward and punishment that we find in the Shema. David is confident that he will be saved, for he understands that God rewards the righteous and punishes the evil. Clearly, that is what will happen to him here, since he considers himself righteous. The final pasuk says, Ki tzadik Adonai tzidakot ahed, yashar yechezu panemo. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright shall behold his face. After all, God loves righteousness. In other words, he loves the system created. It's built on right and wrong. And yes, of course, if one sins, one's in danger of losing one's protection by God. And therefore, it's always a good idea to pray to God for forgiveness and for mercy, which David does most of the time, but not here. Note that the psalm has no direct call to God. He's not calling out, please help me. David talks about God and is confident that God will lean towards him, since he is sure that he is, well, at least less guilty than the evil enemies who surround him. The final three words echo the opening words of the section. Yechezu, God sees, forming an inclusio of the message David is trying to convey. When God sees, and when he is worthy of being seen, the righteous, then there's nothing to fear and no need to run. This is absolute faith in God and his system. Amos Chacham closes his analysis noting that the treaties of the Tzaddik and the Rasha come in the form of chiastic structure. This is a poetic tool where choosing where to put the words creates a feeling about the subject matter. Thus, verses 5, 6, and 7 set up a chiasmus, where first it mentions the Tzaddik, that's the A, and then immediately mentions the Rasha, that's the B. And then the next verse, it continues with the Rasha, that's the B. And finally, in verse 7, it closes with the tzaddik, that's A. It's called ABBA structure. Now here, perhaps the structure aims to encircle the rasha from all sides by the tzaddik, and God's protection of the tzaddik to connote an absolute feeling of justice towards evil and reward to the righteous and those who walk in the straight path. David speaks to his advisors here, his confidants, and teaches them a lesson in philosophy about God and how he rules the world. When you are in the right, do not fear the enemy. God will protect. Shalom.